Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Makone Maja. Let's get into the first news story of today. And of course, last week we covered the departure from the EFF of its deputy president, Floyd Shivambu. And while it seemed, at least at the time, that maybe on the surface things might remain cordial between Malema and Shivambu, that has not lasted. Malema has lashed out in a two-hour-long speech, sort of slightly reminiscent to me of Adolf Hitler in the bunker in the final days at Floyd Shivambu and any other people he thinks might be plotting to undermine the leadership of the EFF. In a two-hour monologue to supporters, he got the crowd to chant things like, "Let's go to war." He shouted, "Floyd, what did I do to you?" And he said the following: "I want them to leave. I want to say to them, leave now. Leave now so that we can know how many soldiers we have for this struggle to liberate our people. You must leave today because nothing is going to change between now and December. We have no reason to beg anyone. If you want to leave, leave now and leave us alone. We will always continue to speak truth to power. It is now time to build an iron wall in defense of our movement as we confront not only our historical enemy, but also those among us who wish to see the death of this revolutionary movement. We must unite and close ranks against anyone who might want to use our National People's Assembly as a tool to infiltrate the EFF." So I think, we've been talking on the show for a long time that the EFF has increasingly seemed to be erratic in its leadership decisions. Malema just fires people left, right, and center. He often seems to humiliate people in public when he's not impressed with the way that they've been doing things. And I think that the kind of ructions we're seeing now in the EFF are exactly what was a long time coming. Makore, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree that it's been a long time coming, Nick. I think that Julius Malema has a history of cheating his members, even the senior leadership in the EFF, dispensably and even humiliating them on public stages. And so while I think that Floyd is more motivated by wanting to create a name for himself elsewhere, which he will never really get the chance in the EFF. I mean, Julius is only 40 years old. He started the party when he was in his early 30s. He still has a good 40 more years left in him as president of the EFF. And I know that he keeps making a call to be challenged, but we know that he will likely never let that happen. I do not see him. If he does not cede to someone like Floyd Shivambu, who he equates to a brother, who he said about the letter of his resignation that it reminded him of when he received the passing of his mother, I think. If he does not cede to someone like somebody he holds in such high regard, somebody he holds in such closeness, he even said at the press conference, he's closest to Floyd. So if Floyd's departure caught him off guard, like, imagine the others, right? If he does not give up to someone like that, or if he does not give way to someone like that, then I do not see him being challenged. But I do stand on the fact that he tends to treat his leaders dispensably, and you just cannot run a party like that, certainly not one that you want to grow and see flourish. I would expect that you'd want to pour into your leaders and support them as a so-called leader in the revolution. If you called it in the media that press conference of Floyd's and his seemingly amicable departure was nothing more than PR management, that behind the scenes there'd been conflict and contempt between the two brewing, and I'm guessing it's now spilling over. What I do not foresee Floyd engaging in this. He tends to let the media run with its narratives and stick to the politics. I think he will continue building at the MK, where he has a better chance of ascending a leadership role, one bigger than Malema, certainly in the fact that the MK is going to outgrow the EFF, it has in many ways. But yeah, if he manages to strengthen the organizational structures at MK, then he has a better shot there. And then I really can't wait to see them, the two possible president nominees, right? Floyd for MK, if that ever happens, if that ever happens, and Julius for EFF, that would be very interesting.
No, exactly. And this is a great example of why you always need to leave room in any organization for new leaders to emerge for more than one personality, because inevitably you're going to have a fallout like this, particularly when something goes wrong, like the EFF's 2024 election, which did not go that well. And so I think this also endangers the alliance in some ways between the EFF and MK. I'm sure they're going to continue by necessity to work together, but it's clearly going to be less happily than before. Now that the EFF seems to think that there are traitors in MK's ranks. Okay, let us go on to our next story. And, often the poorest of South Africans are criticized for not paying rates and for electricity in particular. There are lots of instances in places like Soweto, for example, where South Africans are resistant to paying electricity bills. There are also places around the country where this happens. But the reality is that the culture of non-payment is much more widespread than in South Africa's poorest communities. And one of the important points about this is that National Treasury says that state assets owe municipalities 18.6 billion rand in rates and taxes. So, in other words, this is provincial and national government departments, buildings, things like that, which have not paid their rates and taxes to municipalities across the country. And when you consider that many municipalities across the country are really struggling for money right now, it's not a great sign. According to Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana, organs of the state collectively owe municipalities 18 billion rand for rates and taxes. This was in a answering a question from the EFF in Parliament. At the end of December 2022, municipalities owed Eskom alone 56.3 billion rand, and that debt has been rising since. So, Makone, it speaks to me when your government departments are not able to just simply pay something as simple as a rates bill. It suggests to me that this is a fundamental breakdown in the management of these organizations. What do you think of this?
Exactly that. There is no stronger case for a smaller government than that when the government fails to manage itself. And this is a key example of that. And as you very astutely pointed out, that the poor usually get flak for like poor management of rates and taxes. But when you have the government failing to collect revenue from other government departments, these people sit together. These people are colleagues, and yet I mean the managers themselves, the people who manage government departments themselves, and yet they cannot seem to get those departments functioning, even though they're all in one place. Unlike if you're, for example, administering over like a whole community or a whole neighborhood, I must say that I think that debt has declined. This question is coming is being asked the second time. The first time it was in late last year, at the end of last year, Minister Godongwana was asked about this debt, and at the time it was 22 billion. And as you can see, it's come down now, some 3 billion. So I don't know how much of that is attributable to the debt relief that is being provided to these government departments. And at the time, he also broke it down by like provincial departments, national departments, as well as state-owned entities, and also encouraged, that's Minister Godongwana, encouraged municipalities to enforce the MFMA, the municipal bylaws, as well as the debt control and credit management rules, which say that they should be cut off after a certain date of non-payment. But again, you're not seeing them affect the laws on the books. And I think this is one of the things that bothers me about how South Africa solves its problems. We have an issue of government departments not settling its bills. Oh, let's go get a loan, right? That will be paying interest in like very high percentages of, which takes away from service delivery because now the budget must be dedicated to paying off a loan instead of tightening those credit control and debt management practices that are a more sustainable a way of ensuring that revenue collection continues instead of getting a loan for paying things like municipal salaries, which is how these problems are usually resolved. And I think they point out that the Gauteng department is the one that owes the highest, followed by, I think, Free State or something. So those how we solve problems in this country is fundamentally broken, and we need to look at long-term sustainable solutions and also hold holding the government accountable when it defaults, especially on fundamental services, as you pointed out, like rates and taxes.
No, exactly. Okay, let's move on to our next story. And this is once again talking about a party's internal politics. In this case, it's MK. MK's founding leader and former party leader, Jabulani Khumalo, has criticized current leader Jacob Zuma, saying that he's sleeping. MK is not going forward because people will tell you Baba is sleeping. Baba is tired. We are not leading in KZN because Zuma was sleeping when other parties were working towards getting parliamentarians to work, Khumalo said in an interview with BizNews. Now, the MK spokesperson hit back at this, saying, Zuma does the work of the organization and South Africans saw him campaigning throughout the country. We know that he is very much capable of leading the organization. President Zuma continues to give direction to MK and the leadership continues to draw from his wisdom and guidance on how things must be done. That's why capable people like Shivambu have joined and we expect many others to join, all as a result of the guidance of Zuma. When they say he is not capable, how does he attract such capable people into his party? Zuma is in the place of building structures and solving problems. There's also been some criticism leveled at his daughter, Duduzile, for allegedly pushing for the expulsion of a significant number of MPs from MK. About 15 of them were suddenly kicked out of the MK caucus in Parliament. Makone, what do you make of all this?
Baba is sleeping. Yeah, not a very good look for the MK party there. But I joked with you earlier, Nick, that I think the age, the president's age has, it's got a threshold now. And that threshold looks like Joseph Biden, the former president of the United States, current president of the United States. And so...
Not former yet.
Not former yet. Not former yet, very presumptuous of me, I apologize. But I think against President Biden, Jacob Zuma looks very fit and sharp. I've seen him in interviews with EWN and the NCA. They took a stroll around in Gandla. He looked quite fit to me in comparison, I repeat, to somebody like President Joe Biden, who's now set the threshold for age and eligibility as president. But I do think that the MK is going to eventually run into the same problem that the EFF is encountering now, the exodus of leadership. For now, it's in control of that and it's able to dismiss and expel members at will. But as you saw in an article that came out earlier this week, somebody like Nhlanhla Nene, who had apparently joined the MK very silently, because I never saw anything in the media about that, has himself left. And he said that he's leaving because the party is being run like a Zuma family project. I do not expect that, you know, MK leaders like Yoja Lopez will stick around, you know, if that's the case, if the party really is being run like a family farm. And so hopefully somebody like Floyd is able to go in there and form actual structures that they can stick to, you know, enforce rule of law that applies to all the leaders equitably, including Ms. Duduzile Zuma. But other than that, I think the MK party will likely suffer the same fate where they see a lot of their leaders pretty much leave the party because it's just dysfunctional.
No, exactly. And that's why it's worth pointing out that despite the sort of far left in the South African parliament holding about a quarter of all the seats, they are not in a healthy place politically. Both MK and EFF seem to have major organizational problems. And I think this is one of the things that's going to define our politics over the next couple of years is, can these parties still put in solid electoral performances, the EFF and MK, despite the fact that they seem to be having so many internal problems? And if they don't, then who's the beneficiary? Is it the ANC? Is it some new party? Is it the DA? Who knows? I think this is something to keep a close eye on, which is why we will keep talking about it as things develop. Anyway, that's all the time we have for today. We hope that you found the show interesting, and that's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.